Last week, we started a three-week series leading up to Thanksgiving, and we just called it Thankful for Jesus. We're just thankful for what Christ does in our lives. And we talked about the fact that we are saved by grace, through faith, not of any works that we did, but because of what He did for us. Grace is just that when God loves us and we don't deserve it. It's not that God just helps us when we help ourselves. You know, the terminology, God helps those who helps themselves, that is not in the Bible. That's a great little saying, but it is not a Bible thing. It's kind of like, you know, cleanliness is next to godliness. That one's not in the Bible either. But your mama told you it was, didn't she? You better clean that room if you want to make it to heaven. Every one of us, we're saved through grace. Not because we earned it, not because we did something special. And faith, God is the one who gives us faith where we can reach out and grab hold of that grace. That's what it is. But the Bible says it had nothing to do with us. We can't take credit for it. Now, the next verse in that passage is what I want to start with this morning. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's handiwork. Back it up one more. There we go. For we are God's handiwork. She was peeking at you there, wasn't she, for a second? So much for a surprise. Here we go. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We can't boast about it. Now, why can't we boast about it? Because we didn't make ourselves Christian. We are God's handiwork. Now we have laws to protect people's creative endeavors, right? If you write a song, you have to get it copyrighted. Or if you write a book, you get a copyright. So somebody else can't come along and say, hey, I wrote that book or I wrote that song. I mean, maybe you read in the news a while back where P. Diddy, all right, let's tell you, I'm connected, all right? He's 60 years old, y'all, all right? Okay. I don't know how old he is. P. Diddy has to pay Sting $2,000 a day for about 20 years because P. Diddy stole some music from Sting and didn't pay him for it. He sampled some music, put it in a very popular song. You can go look up the whole article later. $2,000 a day for about 20 years he has to pay this. Now listen, That says, hey, somebody else wrote that. That does not belong to you. You can't take credit for that, all right? If you create an electric car, you got to get a patent on that thing, or somebody's going to say, I created it, and I want the money from that. There are ways to protect creative endeavors. The beginning of this chapter that we just started reading, Ephesians chapter 2, it starts off with Paul saying, you were dead in your transgressions and your sins. You were dead. Now, he's talking to people who come from a wealthy town, the town of Ephesus. And he says, look, when I found you, you were dead. Or when God found you, you were dead in your trespasses and dead in your sins. But now he says, 10 verses later, he says, for we are God's handiwork. He's saying, look, when you started, you weren't much. You were kind of messed up. You were just dead in trespasses and sins. And look what God has done. God has turned you into something. But we can't take credit for it. John chapter 3 is so important. There was to this story, there was a religious leader named Nicodemus. And Nicodemus had heard about what Jesus was doing. He saw the things that Jesus did. And he wanted to find out more about Jesus, but he was afraid that his religious buddies were going to find out about it. So he comes to Jesus at night. All right, he sneaks in and he has a conversation with Jesus. And he says something to this effect. I see what you're doing, and obviously there's more going on than just human stuff here. Something big is happening, and I need you to tell me what it is. And Jesus explains to him, look, if you want to know God, you're going to have to be born again. And Nicodemus is kind of spiritually dumb, even though he's a spiritual leader. And he says, how am I supposed to be born again? I know I can't go back into my mother's womb and be born again. And Jesus, you almost hear Jesus going, just stop it, all right? And he says, no, you have to be born again through me. You have to realize that salvation, the next step in our spiritual journey, only comes through Jesus. And of course, Nicodemus believes, but when we start this journey, we somehow think it has something to do with us. We start asking God, what can I do to change? What can I do to make it different? What can I do to make my life different? Some of us have been trying to lose the same 20 pounds for 25 years. I always say I've lost 200 pounds. And people look at me and go, wow. No, I'm the same 20 pounds 10 times. All right? Over and over and over. We try to go through life earning it and doing this thing through self-control. And when it comes to our salvation, it's just not enough. We can't even say no to donut holes. How in the world are we ever going to say no to sin? How are we ever going to say no to the things that destroy us and tear our families apart if we can't even say no to the pantry? So when God is working in us, he's saying, look, I want you to make sure that you give credit where it's due. He's saying, I want you to give credit to me. God's grace changes us from darkness to light. He changes us from the old man to the new man. He changes us from an old creation to a new creation is what the Bible says. Paul shows the Ephesians what it looks like for believers to grow. And he said that you're starting in one place, but God has somewhere else for you to go. We aren't saved from our sins because of our works, but we are saved to do some works. It's not what I don't earn this by doing good stuff. But when God changes my life, I want to start doing different things. I want to change. I don't want those old habits and addictions to hold me back and pull me down. I want to change. I want to give God room to work. I want to do the things that those one another things. I want to serve other people when God has done something for me. We're not saved because of our works, but we are saved to do things. God is making us into a masterpiece. Now, you look in the mirror today and you're not going to see a masterpiece, all right? But you're on a masterpiece journey. It's God starting the work in us, and every one of us is at a different place. Now, Leonardo da Vinci is arguably the greatest painter of all time. Now, this is the painting. You've already seen it. All right? Leonardo da Vinci painted the Mona Lisa. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't get it. All right? It's the most famous painting in the whole world, but I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking it's a painting. All right? But I'm sure some of you art people are like, I can't believe he said that. That's blasphemous. And I you got better eyes than I do, better sense. But here's what's interesting to me. When Leonardo da Vinci was painting the Mona Lisa, he never actually finished it. It's considered one of the greatest paintings in all of history, and it's unfinished. Someone commissioned him to paint this, and he never finished it. He would take it from city to city, and he would work on it. History says that he would go and look at cadavers, dead bodies, and he would see what the muscles did, and he would get to look underneath the skin and see what was going on so that he could paint the Mona Lisa exactly the way you see her. And he died before he finished it. Now, God's, it's in a museum, and it's worth, some people say, just under $1 billion. That's a lot of money. But it's valuable because the people who look at it and know what they're looking at recognize something that other people can't see. And yet it's unfinished. There it is in the museum. Here's what's interesting, though. God's work is far more glorious than Leonardo da Vinci's work. And here's why. Leonardo da Vinci started with a blank canvas. And God started with you and me. You were no blank canvas when God found you. We had already painted. We were like preschoolers, just messing up our lives with bad decisions, holes in the canvas, colors that don't match. We dragged ourselves through the mud. We were not fit for any museum. But God wasn't finished with us there. God had bigger plans. God wanted to do something different. That's why after we come to faith, we're still broken. We come to Jesus and we're still broken. We accept Christ, but something starts to happen. We're not condemned anymore because our sins are forgiven. And we aren't under sin's rule anymore because God takes that away and gives us victory. But we're not masterpieces either. Well, we haven't arrived in the museum. Nobody can look at my life and go, now he is the one that everybody ought to be like. If anybody ever said that to me, I would just pull them to the side and go, let me tell you something. You are confused, brother. I don't want you looking at it because I got stuff that I'm still dealing with. And we all have stuff. But God is turning us into this masterpiece. Slowly but surely. We can be free from the sin's presence in our life, but we are not free from the effects of sin. We're still dealing with bad decisions from our past, but he's still putting us back together. I want to encourage somebody this morning. He's still putting you back together. He's still putting you back together. He's still working on you. Like Leonardo da Vinci, when he carries his painting around under his arm and he's working on it and he's learning and he's developing and he's changing colors and he's doing, that's exactly what God is doing for all of us today. We have not arrived. You're not the masterpiece. And I always try to tell people about this when they say things like, I was hurt in church 25 years ago. I always have to say, listen, you have an idea that church is full of perfect people. And I want to make sure you understand that we're just all people on a journey. Yeah, we're going to get hurt when we're dealing with other people. Well, we get hurt in our own families. We get hurt in our own jobs. Why? Because God is still developing us. God is still changing us. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says this, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. God's going to be working on you and working on me. Now, don't take that as a free pass to just live any old way. No, we're cooperating with him. But I'm confident that God, he started this work in me. He will complete this work in me. It's not about me. It's about him. And I just need to be available to him. I just need to let him do his work. 2 Peter 3:18 says this, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But grow. Grow. Are you growing? That's the question right now. Am I growing? Am I truly saying, Lord, I want to be the person you want me to be. I want to get where you want me to go. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to be that person that understands that it was the work Jesus did that provides my salvation. But when I get saved, when I surrender my heart to Christ, it makes me want to do different stuff. I was a part of somebody giving their heart to Christ several years ago, and this person said they'd been smoking 3 packs of cigarettes a day, all right? This is not about the cigarettes, okay? But it's just about something that had a hold on their life for so long. And the next day I talked to him, and he said these words, I've only had 7 or 8 cigarettes today. And he had gone from 60 cigarettes to 7 or 8. He already felt like he was growing. He was already moving in the right direction. He was getting free, and he had people around him, and the journey had started. Listen, God's going to work in our lives, and he's going to help us grow in different areas of our life. But the question again is, am I growing? Am I letting God do his work in me? Now, good art will always have a deeper message. An artist never says, it was just a bunch of cool colors. I put them together. No, he's got a very big idea about this art. Sometimes it's about social justice. Sometimes it's about a feeling. But there's something bigger that's being presented. And when God is working in us, he's doing the same thing. He's doing something bigger than just giving you some relief from your past or giving you some relief from your sin. He's changing it. It's a bigger idea. A good painting is on display because it evokes emotions, because it says something to us. When we live our lives for Christ, when we surrender to Him, just like every good piece of art has a message, our lives have a message. Our lives get to share a message. So as you're doing good works, you're saying, God is working in me. You're sharing the message that God has raised me from transgressions and sin, and I was dead in my sin. Your message is that God's goodness has been on my life. God's grace is real. And when you live that out, you're really saying, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about what He did in my life. Let me tell you about what God has done for me. The Mona Lisa is valued at about $1 billion. Look at it again. Now, can you see it? I mean, if somebody gave you $1 billion today and they said you could buy the Mona Lisa, would you go buy the Mona Lisa? You wouldn't. It doesn't have enough value. You'd be thinking, I'm getting a new car. I'm tired of this old one that's breaking down. You wouldn't be thinking, let me buy the Mona Lisa. We wouldn't pay that much for it. We don't think it's worth that much because you and I don't see what the expert sees in that. When an expert artist looks at this, they see something different than the average person. Some people might look at you and me and say, yeah, he's not much to look at. I wouldn't give you $1 billion. Other people can look at us and say, yeah, look, just it's not quite finished. It's just something's missing. His life and her life is just not worth that much. But the beautiful thing is God sees something different. I'm going to bring this up to date. Mona Lisa, she's been around a long time. Let's look at this next picture. Now we're talking. All right. Now listen, if you saw the first picture, you would, if you're like me, you go, well, it's going to cost $15,000. That's what you would say. In the bottom picture, you just see a beautiful car. You don't see the damage. Look at the next one. This was my era, just for anybody who might be wondering. That was my dream car. Let's look at the next one. There you go. That's somebody way older than me's dream car. All right. Every one of us can look at that car, the before picture, and we go, yeah, it could be nice. But then we'd have to ask ourselves the question, am I willing to put the money into it to get it to the after picture? And we might say, it wouldn't be worth it to me. And God is looking at every one of us, and He sees those old, broke down, ugly pictures of all of us. And here's what He said. I think they're worth it. They're worth it to me. I think I can do something with this person's life. I'm going to change them. I'm going to turn them into a masterpiece. And they're going to do the work. They're going to share the message, because they're going to recognize what I've done for them. When God looks at us and He sees all the things that are wrong, He also sees all the things that could be right. So if that's you this morning, you feel like the before picture, I got good news. When God's looking at you today, He sees the after picture already. He's already paid the price. It was way more than $1 billion. It's John 3:16. Take a look at this. For God so loved the world, He loved you and me so much that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. Here's how much God cares about you. Now, He sees you. If you want to think about that painting and that old canvas, it's ripped up and torn and dragged through the mud and got the wrong colors on the canvas, and you recognize that as yourself. You could look in a spiritual mirror today and you go, that's me today, or that was me a couple of years ago. But listen, that picture looks familiar. And God sees it, and all He sees is potential. Why else would Jesus die in your place and mine? Why would God give His only Son to die on the cross in your place and mine if He didn't see the potential? He does see the potential this morning. He has a plan for your life, and I want to encourage somebody today. He's not done because you're still breathing. He's not finished. He's got somewhere for you to go. He's got something for you to do. He's got a path for you to follow. He wants to work in our lives, and all we have to do is say yes to Him. All we have to do is say yes. Leonardo da Vinci carried this painting around with him all the time, and he was just working on it, working on it, working on it. I wonder if when he was working on it, he thought, one day, somebody's going to pay $1 billion for this. No, because it wasn't about the money. It was the love of the work that drove him to do it. God cares about every one of us. He just loves us, has plans for us, wants to work in our lives, and all we got to do is say yes. I want you to stand with me if you would. If you don't, two prayers this morning. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I want you to know Him. I want you to say yes. I just want to start my journey with the Lord. Now here's what's going to happen. Some people in this room are going to say, and watching online would say this, I'm going to say yes to Jesus just as soon as I get my life cleaned up. Can we just be honest? You've already proven you can't clean your life up. I couldn't clean mine up. It's beyond us. It's beyond our ability. So let's let go of that one. Well, I'm just not worth it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him, believes, whoever believes, not whoever is good, whoever believes in Him can have eternal life. So forget the second argument. But there'll be a better time. And if we can just be honest, that's called procrastination. One day, there'll be a better time. There's not going to be a better time. There's not going to be a better time because you're going to miss out on all that God wants to do in your life between now and then if you procrastinate on making a decision to follow Christ. So what's going on this morning to stop you from just saying, let me surrender. I'm tired of doing this by myself. I want to be free. I want to become what God wants me to be. I want to grow. I want to become the masterpiece. I want to do this God's way. We like to say around here it's as easy as A, B, C. I have to admit that I've sinned. I've got to believe in Jesus and who He is and confess Him as Lord of my life. This A, B, C. And start your journey. And then God's going to take you on. He's going to lead you down that journey. And He's going to give you a church family to walk this out with. So what's going on? What do you need to do today to surrender your life to Christ? You need to let everything else go and say yes to Jesus. Here we go. Let's pray. Father, I thank You today. God, You've been so good. You've been so good to us. And Lord, we just want to surrender today. And Lord, if there's anybody listening or watching online or in the room today that just needs to say yes, Lord, I pray that You just help them to let go of all the reasons why today is not the day and just surrender to You. Just say yes to Your grace and let You do Your work. Let You start this masterpiece work You want to do in their life. God, I just pray, Lord, as they start this journey, they would just admit their sin and believe in You and confess You as Lord of their life and just start brand new and just let You accomplish what You want to accomplish and let You get the glory for all of it. And we thank You, God, for what's coming. In Jesus' name, amen. Give them some praise, everybody. Amen. 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 Here, if you just started that journey, you need to tell somebody. Don't keep it a secret. You got to tell somebody. You got to get somebody involved. Somebody that's going to be happy for you. Somebody who's already walking with Christ. Tell somebody about it. And let your journey with the Lord start. All right? Here's our second prayer this morning. And it all revolves around this one simple question. Am I growing? Am I growing? What is God leading me to do in this growth process of my life? What's the next step that God has for me? What is God trying to accomplish? Where is God trying to lead me? What can I do? Now, here's what we do. We have a tendency to think about, well, this little thing that I can do is not enough. That's a lie from Satan. The Bible says it this way, despise not small beginnings. In other words, God uses little steps too. God's all about little steps. So what little step can you take? Maybe it's a big leap. That's great. All right. But what's that little step that God's leading you to take right now? Maybe it's I'm going to start opening my Bible. Maybe it's I'm going to confess that sin to somebody. Maybe it's I'm going to start being at church regularly, or I'm going to start going to Celebrate Recovery, or I'm going to start having devotions with my family. What's the next thing that God has for you? And we're going to pray it this way. Lord, give me the strength, and Lord, I'm just asking you to produce this in me. I want to say yes, but I need your help. I can't lose the 20 pounds alone. I need your help, Lord. I need your help. Let's pray. Father, thank you for what you're doing in us. And we know, God, that you have steps. You have a growth plan for us. You have good things in mind. But we're praying today that you would help us to take that next step, Lord. It might be a tiny little step, but you have somewhere for us to go. You have something for us to do. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to make that decision. But then, Lord, we would just trust you to empower us, that we would trust you to produce in us the fruit that needs to be produced. Lord, we want to cooperate. And we want to say yes, but we know we're going to need your help. And we thank you, God, for what's coming. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give him some praise, everybody. Amen. Amen. Well, as we're about to go, I want you to just give five people a high five on your way out. God bless us as we go. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you, everybody. Thank you for being here.